D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan here with you. The NHL draft is upon us. First round on Friday. We will have our own draft show live from Bridgestone Arena, if I'm not mistaken, co-hosted by Robbie Stanley and Max Herz. I believe Willie Donick will stop by, and Hal Gill is going to stop by, and Lindsey Rowley is going to stop by, and Willie and I will do a special edition of Preds Insiders tomorrow as well. So a lot of hockey coverage.
A bunch of stop buyers.
See, what are they buying?
See, a stop buyer. Yesterday we did that exercise about pick a word for the Titans offseason. I said, no two words with a hyphen. Stop buyers.
We didn't have any violations yesterday.
Exactly. We didn't have any.
So you're not really in trouble because I didn't tell you couldn't do that for this. But that stop buyers is absolutely a word that would have been banned on that exercise. But we got off to a spicy start, I would say, because I just had to poke at Jared a little bit after Barry Trotz kind of sort of broke his heart yesterday, because Trotz talked about wanting to win next season, looking toward the future as well. Jared has been adamant that Predators fans, and he is a Predators fan, should not judge Barry Trotz until at least 2028, when some of these prospects have developed in their early 20s and hopefully for the Predators making meaningful contributions. But Jared changed his tune yesterday and said, now we can judge Barry Trotz on what happens this coming season. And the three of us, we got into a bit of an argument. Willie, you told me in the previous hour during a break that you have been compiling a list of something. And I want you to dig into this list a little bit.
Okay, because I think the general discussion we're having here, which is a good discussion, is can you have two plans going on at the same time, a short-term plan and a long-term plan? And does one get in the way of the other? My argument is that Barry Trotz's short-term plan of trying to bounce back with the veteran nucleus that he has does not interfere with the long-term track, which Jared has pointed out, that really there is a lot riding for. And I would lean this way. I do think Barry Trotz, the reckoning will happen around 2028-29, when we see what this cluster of prospects they've been building for the last couple of years, which takes, it's a painstakingly slow process. But by 2028-29, you should really see what you've got. To me, these are two plans that can be executed at the same time without interfering with one another. And if anybody can give me an example of where one is interfering with the other, then I would like to know, because I don't see it with what I'm doing. But if you're arguing that they should not try to win this year and that they're in limbo or all these things and they got these 30-somethings, yes, they do have 30-somethings. But at least I'm giving you optimism and hope that if it falls right, I think they could look something closer than to the team that they had 2 years ago. They're not that far removed from that. It went about as bad as it could go last year, and they may fall short of the playoffs, but they've got a chance to do something. I made a list of 10 current teams, and I think we could have a discussion about three or four other teams that are in the somewhere along this spectrum, of teams that basically decided to break it down and say, you know what, we're rebuilding. We're going that route. We want high draft picks, and that's how we're going to get a Stanley Cup team. We're going to break it down and tank. Okay? These are the teams I've got. And so ask yourself if you want Barry Trotz to do this, because that's your choice. Chicago. They've made the playoffs once in the last 8 years, and it was an asterisk because it was in the bubble. They would not have made the playoffs, but they were in the weird format they did in the bubble. They got in there.
The last time they made the real playoffs was when they were swept by the Predators in 2017.
They have not won a playoff series in 10 years. 10 years. So are they going to make the playoffs this year?
No.
It would be a huge
a miracle
mm-hmm. if they made the playoffs this year. So we're talking about a decade of stinking.
Stinky, 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 as Derek Mason would say.
Because take a look. They haven't been close to making the playoffs.
No.
Chicago is the headliner. Columbus has now gone 5 years without a playoff appearance.
Just missed this past season.
And they look like they could be on the verge of starting to have some pretty good stuff. Buffalo, 14 years. Need we say any more about Buffalo? 14 years without making the playoffs.
Longest drought in NHL history without a playoff
appearance. They've had to reboot their rebuild two or three times within that, right? Detroit has now gone 9 straight years without making the playoffs. Ottawa made the playoffs for the first time in 8 years. They barely made it. They lost in the first round. They have a nucleus that could be pretty good. They might be on the verge, but it took 8 years. Eight. So that if you have a child who's 10 and in fifth grade, this means when he's going to college, that's the next time your team is going to make the playoffs. Okay.
Well, how many years? Eight.
8 years. That's a long rebuild. Are you prepared to do that? You're going to keep your season tickets for 8 years? Or would you rather have a chance with the 30-somethings and some flexibility? This is where we get into the nuance of what they're trying to do here. And I'm not even halfway through the list. We got Anaheim, 7 years. Anaheim's a pretty good team. They've won Stanley Cups. They've been to Stanley Cup Finals. They were a really, really good team. The Predators beat them 3 different dogfights in the playoffs.
Those were some fabulous series.
Great hockey.
Fabulous series.
They've gone 7 years without making the playoffs. Do they have a shot at making the playoffs this year? Maybe. They're trying to.
They're a bubble team,
I would say. They're probably a bubble team, but it's taken 7 years. San Jose is going on 6 years. 6 years straight of not making the playoffs. Are they making the playoffs this year?
Who is that?
San Jose Sharks?
No.
Not even close. It's going to take 2, 3, 4 more years. We're talking about a decade of not making the playoffs.
So Willie.
Before they really see the fruits. And they've got some good young players. Ascaroff's in there. They've got high first-round picks.
Celebrini.
Yeah.
But realistically,
it's going to be tough for them to win anytime soon.
Okay, so here is sort of the dilemma. Because, listen, those names you throw out.
I could go on, but you get the point.
I mean, no one wants to be sitting in a position as a fan base and waiting 8, 9, 10 years for your team to finally develop.
About a third of the league falls into this category. About a third. So do you want to – everybody makes fun of the mushy middle, but do you want to really be in that third of the league where you're like, hey, don't worry, man, we're going to get it because we've got Macklin Celebrini, we've got Connor Bedard. That's great. But do you want to take that long to even make the playoffs? I'm not saying – contend for a championship. I'm saying make the playoffs.
But what happens when or if you didn't went down this road? And I'm not saying that you're boxed in from a standpoint of letting these guys or blocking anyone from developing, because they're going to develop. And I don't think your roster, you know, you're that top heavy where you can't sort of bring people up as they're developing. I think you still can. But with that being said, you know, what is it that they do moving forward? Can they both, because that's what they're trying to do, can they both prepare this team for now to win now, but also look toward the future? Because, again, the fan base may not want to hold on that long.
Right.
Then what if it doesn't work again this year? Then what do you do?
Well, you haven't jeopardized what is a very slow process of building a prospect pool. That's why Jared is right by saying there is a lot riding on this prospect pool of guys like Matthew Wood, Reed Schaefer, David Edstrom, Joachim Kemmel. Those guys are all young. Yegor Surin, who decided to stay one more year in Russia before he comes over. He's, 19 years old. But he's a guy that down the road they need. And they're not all going to hit, but you need a couple of big hits from that nucleus. There's a group of guys that probably aren't going to make a huge impact this year that you hope will start. Tanner Molendijk would be in this group as well. They're not quite ready. So they're not being blocked by anybody on the roster for this year's team. And as I pointed out in the first hour, Barry Trotz has really big flexibility after this year. Because here are the players that are in the last year of their contract. Michael Bunting, Eric Halla, who they just picked up, Colton Sissons, Cole Smith, Michael McCarron. These are all the veteran players. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Lauzon. Justin Barron's a younger player who's going to be restricted after this year. He's super cheap. So that's a large group of guys that you want to keep one or two, keep one or two. You want to trade one or two, trade one or two. Want to just let a couple walk, let a couple walk. But that could give you more space to bring up who the players that are ready to come up that they are banking on for that big 28-29 season.
I will speak to the other side because there is a word that you used in there, and I think your points are all well taken. They are certainly valid. There is a word that you used in there, and I'm going to introduce another word.
Okay.
You use the word chance, as in the Predators' chances to compete. And that other word is compete or competitive. So this was ESPN bet, and I know betting odds are not the end-all be-all. But after
it's a good gauge, though.
After the season ended, ESPN bet had the Predators. So this was a week ago. It could have changed. Had the Predators at 100-1 odds of winning the Stanley Cup next season. They share the same odds as the Montreal Canadiens, Detroit Red Wings, Boston Bruins. Directly underneath them, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Anaheim, Seattle, Chicago, and San Jose. So the Predators have among the longest odds, according to ESPN bet a week ago, to win the Stanley Cup. I talked about this last week when both of you were out and Nick Frazier was sitting in with me. Your definition of the word competitive, I think your, not yours, Willie, just generally. Your definition of the word competitive, I think, goes a long way in determining how you feel. From what it sounds like, Willie, if your definition of a competitive team is a team that has a chance to make the playoffs, would that be accurate?
Well, I'm echoing what Barry Trotz said.
Okay. I disagree with that
because
definition.
Because that's what he said.
I personally disagree with that definition. To me, if you are to be considered competitive, and again, this is only me, and I've got some high standards. To be considered competitive in the NHL, I think you have to have a legitimate chance to win the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
I do not think this Predators team, and a lot can change within the next week, I do not think this Predators team this coming season has a legitimate chance to win the Stanley Cup. And therefore, I would be looking to whatever word you want to use, rebuild, retool, whatever. They all sort of mean the same thing. That doesn't mean you tear it all down, but I think that your end goal shouldn't be sneaking into the playoffs and maybe winning a round. Because right now, again, a lot can change. This is just my gut feeling as of June 25th at 1:16 p.m. My ceiling for the 2025-2026 Nashville Predators is what you saw from the Predators two seasons ago, what you saw from the Predators in the year they were swept by the Colorado Avalanche. They get in. They pose no threat to a better team.
And they didn't have UC Saros in that series, but your point is taken. They were a big underdog in the first round.
So I just think that being in that mushy middle, I know it means you may make playoff appearances, but what does it really get you in the end?
You're still working towards getting towards a team that can compete. How many teams right now would you put in the category that you're talking about, Adam, compete for a legitimate chance to win a Stanley Cup? Six? Eight?
Florida, obviously. Edmonton. Colorado. Carolina. Dallas. Vegas. Tampa.
Tampa?
They're on the
cusp. To win the whole thing.
They're on the cusp.
You really think so?
I still think.
Legitimate chance to win the Stanley Cup.
I will never rule out Tampa Bay. We can quibble about it, but it's a small list. It's less than a third of the league, I would say.
So you're saying that two-thirds of the league should be retooling and doing what you just said?
In some form or fashion. If you don't have a legitimate chance to win the Cup.
But the Predators are doing that. They are retooling. If they have a way of making their team better, quicker, they'll do it. Right? They're not going to just say let's bring in I don't know what your definition of what would be the mistake. Like, I get it. Playing just trading your first round pick.
Yes.
To get a veteran player.
They haven't done any of that.
That's what I'm talking about. So that's why I go back to they have the two lanes. And Barry Trotz is so consistent, beating this into everybody's head, that my pathway might meander a little bit here, but my goal of building a team that can win a Stanley Cup is right there. I'm not going to do anything to deter us from doing that. Now, if they trade three first-round picks for a 35-year-old to try to win this year, that would be a mistake.
Well,
but they haven't done anything like that.
He's hoping that what he thought last year happens this year, where all these guys start to playing at a level closer to the level they were before they got here, which will buy them more time for those guys to develop underneath them. You can't go into this season and say, no, we're not geared to win this year. We're looking more toward 27, 28, 29. Well, what happens is, if you're not geared to winning now or trying to win now, those young guys have to be expedited, and then they're not going to be ready. So I get what Barry's trying to do as far as trying to keep this thing at a level where we're winning, but those younger guys are developing. So when they hit, we'll be fine.
So again, one lane does not interfere with the other. I'll make this last point about the mushy middle and the chance. What is more fun to watch day in and day out
winning
of a season?
Winning hockey.
Let's take the 21, what year was it? 21-22, the year that they lost the Avalanche.
Yes.
Right? 21-22. That season was a lot of fun. In the regular season, you had great moments. You had Tanner Jeannot scoring 24 goals. And you had, the Biloxi Bowl. And you had fun hockey every night. The Herd. You had UC Saros putting on a show. You had Roman Josi doing his thing. That was fun. That was entertaining. Would you take that, even when UC Saros got hurt and you get your clock clean in the first round? Or would you take last year? Which was more fun? Answer the question. Which is more interesting to cover? You cover teams?
Yes, I did.
You think you would have had fun covering last year?
And that was just a rhetorical question. We know the answer.
No, I wouldn't have had more fun. Well, you know what? Sometimes teams...
I throw my hat in the ring and I compete. Either that, or we're going to tank.
Sometimes teams that...
Cover the Blackhawks for the last few years. Has that been fun?
Hey, sometimes teams that are tire fires are more fun to cover. I'm just telling you.
You're twisted. You love chaos.
I do. Like, I always mention this. When I lived in Washington, D.C., it's great that the Commanders are a good team now. The then Redskins were so much more fun when they were dysfunctional. That year with Robert Griffin, that was a great regular season, right? And then he tears his knee in the playoff game. Everything goes to crap. And it was more fun in the fallout of all of the things.
But that's why we love sports. There's more heartbreak than triumph in sports. We strive for the triumph.
Yes. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on this. 615-737-1025. I do have a four-pack of tickets, not a pair. A four-pack of tickets to give away right now. Be caller number two at 615-737-1025, I guess, unless you have a Verizon phone. But be caller number two at 615-737-1025, and you will win a four-pack of tickets to the FIFA Club World Cup match at Geodis Park tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Al Hilal versus CF Pachuca. That's at 8 o'clock tomorrow at Geodis Park. 615-737-1025. Caller number two, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. 1025-1063, the game.
I want to go back to what you said earlier about, you wanted to see where this roster goes before picking a lane, I think is what you said, on the path.
I just want to stay on the path. And then if it gives me some more clarity, if it gets back on the rails the way I think it will, then there won't be really any change in plan. Really, like I said, the plan has always been in pen, and the path has been in pencil. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth. Cause it changes daily. Someone comes with me and gives me a top player for some picks or whatever, I could change the path a little bit. But the plan hasn't changed.
So, I guess that, and this kind of leads into the free agency next week, but are you saying you kind of look at this team as a win now, compete now kind of team?
Well, I think we're still got enough good players that we, if we go in the right direction, yes. Yeah, last year we didn't, and we weren't part of that, so it was a tough year.
But why does everybody have to – why does he – everybody tries to pin him down on win now. Yeah, you'd like to win now. You'd like to. But he's not jeopardizing the end goal. Why is that so hard to grasp?
You know why it is. So
win now means trade all your prospects for veteran players right now. That's what win now means.
But
everything goes into this year.
If it doesn't happen, then they can say, well, you said that you were in the win now phase. You know, that's what I believe this is about, because I think he has been clear, meaning Barry. He has been clear on the vision of this team and where he wants this team to go. I don't think he's meshed words. I don't think he's tried to throw people off. I think he's, and that's the part we like about Barry, is that he's up front. He's telling you where he's told you when he got hired. And I don't think he's deviated from the message. Now, he may have deviated from, you know, how you go about it, but I think the message is still clear.
And it's hard to look Steven Stamkos and Ryan O'Reilly and Brady Shea in the eye and say, we're not trying to win.
Yeah.
You're trying to win, but you have to work with what you've got, and you have to play the long game, which they have been playing since before Barry Trotz took over. And I will go back to when they did the fire sale, when it was kind of a fire sale, when they were still not completely out of the playoffs. That was a couple years ago when John Hines was still the coach, and they traded Nino Niederreiter, Mikael Granlund, Tanner Jeannot, and Matthias Ekholm. That was a pretty big fire sale. That was a message of, we are rebuilding. And so they acquired a lot of assets, some of which they haven't even cashed in on. They're about to take a first-round pick for Tanner Jeannot later this week. That still hasn't even happened yet.
Still can't believe they got all of that for Tanner Jeannot all of these years later.
So that was before Barry Trotz officially took over. All right, so this is, again, his statement that he keeps going to, is my end game is the same. Right, that's in pen where I want to get. But in the meantime, let's see what we can do with the roster we have.
Let's get to some of our texts at 615-737-1025. One texter says, as much as Willie wants to believe anything can happen in the playoffs, the entire Predators existence, I guess minus 2017, shows that it's probably not possible. You have to start over somewhere, and you are probably going to suck for a little bit. Don't put the future in jeopardy just because it wasn't fun last year.
Okay. I go back to Chicago. 8 years. One playoff appearance.
One text.
Buffalo,
said,
14
those
years.
Those Stanley
Detroit,
Cup winning
years
were sure fun in Chicago.
I'm talking about the last 8 years when they decided to rebuild. And by the way, they stunk for a long time before they had the run. Yeah, they absolutely had a borderline dynasty. I would call it a dynasty from about 2008 to 2015, where they won three cups. That was awesome. But we're talking about a decade of suffering, and it's not ending anytime soon, by the way. So keep looking back on those. But let's look at worst-case scenario, okay? Worst-case scenario for this year. Let's say it doesn't go well. And I will tell you, I'm not sitting here saying the Predators will be predicted to make the playoffs. They're not. They will be a team that is not predicted to make the playoffs by very many people. But they have a puncher's chance to have a competitive year where they get into the playoffs, and you do never know. For a round or two, do I think they're going to win the Stanley Cup this year? No. But let's say it goes bad again. They fire the coach. They're in seller's mode in January. A, the silver lining is you pick high again. Nothing wrong with that. That still works towards the 28-29 vision. Can you get some good assets for Ryan O'Reilly in a trade? I think probably so. Could you trade Eric Halla, Michael Bunting, Colton Sissons, Michael McCarron? Those are guys that could get you more draft picks, more assets, which will go towards the rebuild. So it could go that way. And Barry Trotz has made no secret of that. But what's wrong with that?
Here's a question for you.
Because the flaw in my thing is you don't get to pick very high,
this
right?
Is not, and along those lines, yeah. This is a question for you, and it's not meant to be like a gotcha. Like, I am curious. You're looking at the latest Stanley Cup champions. How many recent Stanley Cup champions did not suffer through some terrible years at some point? The Panthers certainly did.
Decades.
The Golden Knights did not. The Golden Knights won.
They're their own thing.
They were ultra aggressive and making trades. Right. That they did not have to.
They're in their
suffer.
Own category because of how they came into the league.
Yes. The Avalanche, they had to suffer. The Lightning, they had to suffer.
True.
The Blues didn't really have to. The Blues didn't really suffer. They were a bubble team for a little bit, and they ultimately made the great run from worst to first. We all know that. The Capitals, they had to suck for a little while. The Penguins.
When did the Capitals really?
It was in the lead up to the Ovechkin. It was in the lead up to.
But that was. I mean, they built for a long time. They were good with Ovechkin.
Okay,
for a long
so
time.
we can put Ovechkin.
But yeah, I get your point. They had to be so bad that they had
a lot of these teams had to be bad enough.
Sure.
To acquire a top end talent at or near the top of the draft.
And so you're preaching to the Chicago, Columbus, Buffalo, Detroit, Ottawa, Anaheim, San Jose. They've gone down this road.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the thinking. But that it I'm just saying if you want to go with that, you can, but I just listed the number of years of rough coverage.
Right. If rough
hockey.
There is some.
And couldn't this market, is this a market that you would be okay doing that?
That is
Chicago,
a, that
the
is
Blackhawks are going to be there whether they stink for another 10 years. They're going to be there. In this market, could you go 7 years in a rebuild? Even if I said you're going to pick in the top 10. That basically, this is Anaheim. Anaheim has had some trouble keeping their fans, right? And this is a franchise that's won a Stanley Cup. They've had a lot of really good teams. They're going now 7 straight years without a playoff thing. And, it's a huge city. They're kind of a secondary part in Southern California. What about Nashville? Could you go through 7 years of that? What
would
the fan
question?
What would the fan base
look like? The Predators, the longest time they've ever gone without making the playoffs is 5 seasons. The first 5 seasons,
right? So since they started making the playoffs,
yes.
have they gone more than 2? I don't know.
They have not gone more than 2 years without making the playoffs,
and that's why my question initially was
2 years is the most.
13 and 14. That's it.
Did the fan base? No. Understand.
They missed 2 of the past 3 years. Yeah. But.
Does the fan base truly understand, that, yeah, everybody's saying, well, it takes 6. Do you really understand? Are you willing to sit in it for 6-7 right. years? Detroit, they were able to sit in it, and they're still sitting in it somewhat, right. But because they won cups.
That's all I'm saying is there a middle ground, a Dallas type of thing that we've talked about? Washington, more recently, you pointed them out. Where you're trying to mix the two. Barry Trotz has been very open book Barry, and he was about as open as he could be yesterday, even for him. Like, he was specifically talking about guys. David Poyle would never tell you what he thought about one of the prospects in the draft if he had the 5th pick. But he talked openly about yesterday. He believes philosophically the best way to develop young players is to put veteran players alongside those young players. And that helps them grow, helps teach them how to win, helps them play the right way. And the guys that are critical in this right now that will be playing a lot for this team, the young players, Svechkov, first-round pick, LaRue, first-round pick, Evangelista, who's at a big crossroads in his career, Justin Barron, those would be – I would throw Adam Willsby in there. I don't know what they're going to do on deep. Barry had some pretty – interesting things to say about the defense yesterday. It does sound like they really want to make a splash and find one guy who can stabilize the D. But those are the guys, those guys I mentioned are going to be there pretty much night in and night. They're going to have an opportunity to play every night. They need one of those guys to really pop. Svechkov would be the ideal guy, right? Still very young, thrown to the wolves a little bit last year. Playing alongside some veterans. He mentioned Halla as a guy that could maybe help a guy like Svechkov. Can you get him to, as Barry Trotz said himself, can I get him into that 2C role someday soon? That would be a huge victory.
I want to ask Derek this question before we get to Jared on the other side. We had one texter earlier who said, I feel like the Predators are where the Titans were a year or two ago. Bad drafting for the past 5 years. With no good young players and trying to build a team through free agency is a recipe for years of being terrible. Now, as you said, Derek, it's apples to oranges comparing the timeline for NFL drafted players and NHL drafted players. But where do you stand on that texter's point?
I mean, listen, you know, because in the NFL you are expected to play right now. So I can see the fruit of that individual right now, and he can help my team today. And in hockey, obviously, it's different. When you draft a guy today, he ain't playing for you more than likely until, you know, next week, which in theory is like 5 years, 6 years on, you know, from that standpoint. So, and that's why the question is, do we all really understand? Not you two, because I know you two do. And I know there are a lot of, you know, Predator fans that understand that too. But I think there is a group that don't quite understand that 7 years, do you really want to wait 7 years for your team to now be in contention to consistently not just be in the playoffs, but to be a Stanley Cup contending team? If you're willing to wait 7 years, then okay. 5, 6, 7 years, then okay. What Barry is doing, he stuck to it. But if you're not willing to wait that long, then you're hoping this team that they have right now with the additions that they added last year, they pop this year. Because if they pop, it helps with that, I think, ultimately, that seven-year sort of cutoff we have as far as those guys developing and able to help your ball club. If those guys that they brought in last year don't hit again, then now I got to expedite that young talent, which it messes everything up.
Right. That was the problem with last year. The veterans all had bad years, and the young players that were starting to scratch the surface, none of them popped. So you put all that together with a team it's that really didn't have a lot of good season. Chemistry. They had all kinds of things go wrong, and you had a team that has the fifth overall pick.
Before we go, Jeff texted in, and I feel like we've been kind of ganging up on Willie.
No, I want to hear it, honestly.
No, but here's a texter that shares your viewpoint. Jeff says, Barry believes in the correction, which is the opposite of last year's results, and so do I. The average should equal a bubble team or better, and Barry showed how to load up at the trade deadline the year before. It's hope for sure, but that's better than a decade of terrible hockey. So I just wanted I wanted to make sure that we knew that there was someone on your side.
And I concede. I concede that the flaw in my philosophy, and maybe Barry Trotz's, is that let's say even you get into the playoffs and you lose in the first round and you end up picking 15th or 16th or 17th, then does that really get you closer? You need to be fortunate, or you need to really make it happen this year, et cetera, when you do have a fifth pick. But my flaw is if you're trying to win and still not mortgaging the future, without the high-end first-round pick in the equation somewhere, it is hard to get the type of one, you know, top center elite talent you're looking for.
615-737-1025. All right. It's time to bring in a heartbroken, a despondent Jared Stillman. Again, I saw his heartbreak in real time yesterday, just like Ralph Wiggum.
Did you go frame by frame?
I haven't done that yet. But David James, you're really good at finding Jared Stillman reaction stills.
I can definitely find it.
I need you to find it. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Are you looking at this saying, hey, you know, our top priority is to put a team out there this year to go compete? Or is your priority, hey, let's build this thing up in the future?
Well, I can answer that pretty easily. My priority is right now. I want to get us back into a position where we're fighting for a playoff spot. That last year we didn't get in that position. I feel if we get off to a good start, we'll be in that position. If we get to the position where we get in the playoffs, I think we can add some things because we got lots of assets. We got kids coming, and we got draft choices, all that. So I'll continue to do that. But my priorities now, with the eyes to the future, that's not anything I haven't said in the past. But I want to get the winning feeling again back here in this organization. Last year was a tough year, so I want to get that joy back. That's priority number one.
And that was the second when Jared Stillman's heart ripped in half because what he thought was the priority wasn't the priority. At least that's how he interpreted it from Barry Trotz. And now we join Jared Stillman, ahead of Stillman & Company. Jared, now that you had about a day to process this all, how are you feeling today?
Well, I got to say, that's a really loaded question about how I'm feeling. I think Barry Trotz put himself on the clock yesterday by saying that his emphasis is on this, his focus is on this upcoming season. And I heard the opening of the DVD program, so you're asking how I feel. I have a bone to pick with Willie, who Barry Trotz said it. It's about this upcoming season. And I gave him
because you tried to trap him in that.
I didn't trap him for nothing. I was trying to get him out of this ambiguity circle of talking out of both sides of his mouth that Adam has been talking about for the last year. Okay. And I've had enough of the talking out of both sides of the mouth, too. So I said, okay, be honest with the people. Be honest with the fans. Level with them. Is the goal right now the 2026 playoffs, or is the goal the 2028-2029 playoffs? And it can't be both.
Why? Why? Give me an example of where one affects the other in
what
he said.
Let's use the fifth overall pick. Let's say that James Higgins has told you, hey, I'm going to go back to BC. So if you are thinking of drafting me number five overall, I will not be on your team next year until April at the earliest. And so if you're thinking about putting me on the second line next year next to Steven Stamkos, don't do it because I'm going to go back to BC.
Right. Do you think they're counting on the
fifth
pick?
If I have to win next year, then I'm not taking that guy. If I have to win or I'm going to get fired, I'm not taking that guy. I'm taking somebody that can be on the team next year.
How many fifth overall picks have played in the league more than 10 games in the last 25 years?
Four.
Okay. Do you think
Phil Kessel one of them?
Yes, he was.
And he had 29 points. Do you think that they're counting on the fifth overall pick to get him over the hump or not over the hump this year?
Well, no. If your focus was on this upcoming
season,
you might try to
trap him into words.
It's been clear. It's not a trap. He has not been clear. Adam, has he been clear?
Yes, he's been crystal clear. He says the same thing every time.
I would have to go back and listen to every single thing.
Oh, Adam, you can't do it.
Come on.
You can't stand up to these two.
Okay, let me ask another question, Jared. If he says, my priority is 2028-2029, I asked Derek, a former player, if you're sitting in the locker room, what's your reaction to that? If you're Steven Stamkos, if you're Ryan O'Reilly, and your GM says that, what's your reaction?
Trade me.
Well, didn't Barry Trotz say
that? That would be my reaction.
How can you not say he said that you're trying to win this year? You have to say that.
He said on the program last year, when I asked him probably around the election or Thanksgiving or something, November-ish, and I said to him, I go, what if it doesn't get better? And he said, then I'm going to start with our rebuild process. And everybody, when they heard that, it was alarm bells going off. And Adam, you were the chief among them, saying you don't rebuild after signing Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, Brady Shea. Did you not say that, Adam?
Yes. That's sort of the argument that you and I had about the types of players that they signed in free agency, where I would say, if you're buying time, you sign Nick Foligno. You don't sign Steven Stamkos.
It didn't get better around Christmas. And to Barry Trotz's credit, there were changes. Goodbye to Alexander Carrier. He's taking a risk on and a flyer on Justin Barron to see if he's any good. He calls up Zachary LaRue. He calls up Fedor Svechkov. He's going to call up more guys. Again, at that point, you said, okay, well, I'm going to go to the rebuild. Well, if you're going to the rebuild, then go to the rebuild. But don't do this going to the rebuild for the rest of last season and now going back to trying to win this season. That's not how it works. You cannot have it both ways, Willie. You cannot have it both ways.
Okay, give me another example where his vision, which he made very clear to you, it is extremely important. You're right to hit the timeline that you did, 28-29. That's a huge year because then we're talking about where is Matthew Wood? Where's Yegor Surin? Guys who are 17, 18, 19, 20 years old right now. Schaefer, Edstrom, Kimmel. These guys that they've been building, the guys they're about to draft. In another 3 years, that is an incredibly big reckoning for Barry Trotz. But again, tell me where what they're trying to do this year interferes with that group.
So Joe
who are they blocking?
Joe Retro thinks if they don't make the playoffs this year, that Trotz should be fired. And I don't believe that, or at least I didn't believe that before yesterday, because I'm saying, hey, it's about 28-29.
I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you tell me an example of where the plan of trying to win this year blocks your thing of the 28-29 Predators. Who is being blocked?
I'll use the example of the fork in the road here and why 26 versus 28 is totally different. Rasmus Anderson is on the trading block, a right shot.
And I heard you ask Barry. That was a really good question.
If you are committed to winning next year, you're probably calling Calgary today and offering 23 or 26 in order to get Rasmus Anderson, and then you're signing Rasmus Anderson to an 8-year, $8 million contract.
Right. I think that's very unlikely that they would trade for him specifically.
Well, why is that unlikely? Aren't we trying to win next year? So one has to take priority over the other.
You're trying to win. Well, again, you can't say that you're putting all your eggs into this year's basket. And you also can't say that I only care about what happens 3 years from now. You're trying to thread the needle. And he's made it clear that he's trying to thread the needle. You don't have to do both. I keep asking you what interferes with it. Now, that's
really,
a really good question.
Work. It doesn't
now,
work.
Now, Rasmus Anderson at 28, 29 is different than the guy that you have never heard of, Noah Dobson, right? Somebody who's more like 23, 24, 25. That, to me, is what you're trying to hit. Is there a deal where you can trade some future assets for a guy that can be around and be in his prime in 28, 29? That I think, is what he's looking for, where you're trying to serve both without without mortgaging the future and putting all your eggs in this season, which is an extreme take that you're trying to pin him down only this year. He has to think about both. That's a GM's job.
But
short-term and long-term.
But at some point, isn't there a push-comes-to-shove moment when you're making a decision?
It depends on how the first 3 months
important.
Of the seasons go, right? If they're January 1st this year and they're not very good, they can pivot, and they have a lot of guys in the last year of their contract that they can trade and get good assets for.
No more pivoting. And all the guys that are in the last year of their contracts are all third line, third
Ryan O'Reilly?
Pair. He's the one guy who might matter, but the core of this team, Forsberg, Yossi, Marchessault, Stamkos, Soros, they ain't going anywhere. And they're locked into those. And
right.
Again,
every team has those guys.
All the guys you're talking about say, well, McCarron, they can get rid of him. McCarron doesn't make a difference one way or another. It's not as if trading Michael McCarron is going to change the franchise's course for the near future. It's just not going to happen.
Right, but it opens up the space for a younger player at that point. But if Michael McCarron has the season he had 2 years ago, he is making a positive impact. And that would go for a lot of these guys who are in the last year of their contract.
And quickly, one other thing you have to keep in mind as well is when you're talking about the younger players they have right now in their system, and they'll add the fifth overall pick in 48 hours. You talked to Scott Wheeler. We talked to him earlier. The Predators have a lot of guys in the system that he has some positive feelings about. But none of them right now seem to project to be the guy that can take this team to the next level.
Well, we'll just trade Michael McCarron and Cole Cousins.
All right. I can only imagine we're going to have a spicy edition of Stillman and Company. I can't wait. Coming up in a few minutes, that'll do it for us. See you tomorrow.
Well, hold on. I want to tease the beginning of my show first.
Sure.
My dad has gotten on my ass about something.
Oh,
so
boy.
We're going to start off
Barry
on
Barry Stillman?
Finally.
Oh, Barry.
Getting on you.
All right.
Barry Trotz on Tuesday. Yeah. Barry Stillman on Wednesday.
Yes, it's all about the Barrys. We'll see you tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
Be love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful Wednesday. Peace.